Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot.
We are studying throughout this 5 days, the life of David. It's actually a mini series on the life of David. And we learned so much about God and Jesus. As you remember, Jesus is a descendant of David. So David becomes a typology, we call it, a symbol of Christ. And he acts accordingly so many times. And many other times he will sin so greatly and go to the very bottom so that he also shows how God's grace is, because he needed it too. Now, today we're going to see a story. We're going to actually talk about a story that is one of my favorite stories in the life of David, and is not very known. Is the story of what happened at Brook Besor. It was a little brook, and something happens there, and we're going to talk about it. But in order to really understand it, we need to know what stage of David's life we're in. So I invite you to take your Bible, if you're somewhere where you can, and go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, let me tell you what has been going on right before this. David is in a down spiral. I mean, he is going down. I don't know if this has ever happened to you where you think it cannot get worse than that, and then it gets worse than that. I mean, I had that in my life where you say, okay, this must be the bottom of something because of the way it feels. And all of a sudden you say, no, it wasn't. There was something a little lower than that. Well, that's exactly how David's life is going. See, first of all, he was in this in-between time that we discussed yesterday, between his anointing and his appointing. He's living in caves. Things are not going right. He's wondering where God is. And then he decides that he's going to go with the enemy. He goes to the Philistines' land, and the king of the Philistines gives him a city so that he can live with his soldiers. And the city is called Ziklag. And that's why when we start on chapter 30, we are told that something happened in Ziklag. But not only is he now in the land of the enemy, he's lying, because he cannot betray Israel. So he goes to towns of the Philistines, kills everybody there, comes back, and the king of the Philistines never knows that he did that, because they kill everybody. I mean, he is living a lie. He is not belonging anywhere, not with Israel, not with the Philistines. I mean, read those three chapters before, 27, 28, and 29, and see how David is going down. But then when it looked like it couldn't get any worse, it gets worse. Chapter 30, verse 1, it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag, which means they came back to their own town, on the third day. The Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. Can you imagine? Things are not going good for you, and you come home and your home is burned down and the whole town is burned down. But then they realize that there's more bad news. Verse 2, they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Maybe today you are in this situation. You're just at the bottom of something. Things are not working out for you. You lost your job, you lost your finances, maybe you have an addiction and you're losing your family. David is at the bottom here, but then something else happens to him. Verse 4, David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep anymore. Have you been there where you just cry and you go to bed crying and you wake up crying and you're still crying until your eyes are dried up just because there's no more tears, not because there's no reason to cry? This is exactly where David is and his men. These grown-up warriors are sitting down, just weeping. Verse 5. Now David's two wives had been taken captive. And verse 6. The only people that David still has is his group, his loyal soldiers. And so he's lost his home, he's lost his city, he's lost his wives, he's lost his sons and daughters. Verse 6, moreover, David was greatly distressed because, and this is the worst part, The people who were with him now, his group, his soldiers, the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. So all the people that are with him, his strong men, his loyal soldiers, all of a sudden in distress. I mean, maybe this has happened to you. When you're at the bottom, you just attack everybody. And here, all his people turn against David. They're looking for somebody to blame for this. And so his own soldiers say, let's stone David. Let's stone our leader. He's good for nothing. So now he has no belonging anywhere. He has been lying for many years in the wrong side of town. His home is burned down. He has no family. He has no wife. And he's been crying, and his own men desert him. He has hit the bottom. And verse 6 says that when he had nothing left, the only place where he could look was up. And we're told one of the great buts of the Bible, the pivotal but. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. There was nothing left. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And this verse becomes the pivot in this story. So David says, Lord, I'm done crying. What should I do? Should I pursue these people that took all of our wives and kids and burned our homes? And the Lord says to him, pursue them, for you will surely overtake them. So David comes back and says, okay, people, the Lord has told me we're going to get everything back. We're going to get our families back. We're going to get our wives back. We're going to get our children back. So there's 600 of them. Verse 9, David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, a little river, brook Besor, where those left behind remained. There were 600 of them. Now look what happens. Verse 10. David pursued, he and 400 men. Didn't we just say that there were 600 men? Yes. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 were too exhausted to cross Brook Besor, and they remained behind. Can you imagine 200 of the 600 soldiers are exhausted? Exhausted. They just cannot even cross the brook. So they stay there, and David goes with the 400 men. So they go, and you can read the story. It's fantastic. Verse 11 all the way to 20, they recover everything. Actually, let me read it to you in verse 18. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken and rescued his two wives, but nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they had taken for themselves. David brought it all back. He brought the people and he brought the spoils. Now, when they get back to the Brook Besor, the 200 men that were too exhausted are waiting for them, right? Verse 21. When David came to the 200 men who were too exhausted to follow David, who had also been left at the Brook Besor, they went out to meet David. They were happy because David has won. But there were some people with David that were not too happy that David wanted to divide all the spoils among the 600 men, included the 200 that were exhausted, that didn't go. And it says in verse 22, all the wicked and worthless men among those who went with David actually said to him, they did not go with us. We will not give them any of the spoils. And David says, okay, you people, you didn't get this. It wasn't you who won the victory. It was God who won the victory. And we are going to actually share this with them because the victory was not ours. The victory was for the strong and the victory was for the exhausted. It was for everybody. And verse 23, David said this, you must not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given to us, who has kept us and delivered into our hands the band that came against us. And who will listen to you in this matter, says David? They will all share alike. And verse 25 says that he did it and made it into an ordinance for Israel from that day forward. I love the fact that he made this an ordinance, that for the exhausted or the strong, for the tired and the not tired, the victory is the Lord's. Now, this is one of the most profound principles that we see later in the New Testament, that God actually had a victory for all of us. And he was a representative, and he had the victory for the whole human race. This is one of the most famous, perhaps, passages in the book of Romans, chapter 5. You can read it later, verse 12 to 19, where it says, you know, Adam failed, And therefore, we are all sinful and mortals. But Jesus Christ was our representative, was our second Adam, and he won for all of us. He had the victory. See, we are only enlisting ourselves in his group under his leadership, but he already has the victory, and the victory is also for the exhausted. So those days in which you're saying, I'm not going to make it. I'm just not going to make it. I'm too exhausted to even cross this day, this brook Besor. Hear David's thoughts and words where it says, no. See, we all share in the spoils because our representative won. He had the victory. And therefore, this is a victory for the exhausted as well. This is one of the greatest principles of the gospel. And if today you are feeling exhausted, you are feeling like you are at the very bottom, take heart. This is the good news. Jesus Christ has fought and won for you.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.